It's time to buckle up your chin straps because you are on the mic with Jay Bird and Size. I'm here with my good friend, my fellow Gamecock, Jay Bird. Jay Bird, what a week to be a Gamecock.
One of the best we've had in a long time.
Best we've had in a while.
Wow.
If you're a real Gamecock, you understand without us saying why this is the best week in a long time. It's been a good week.
Been a real good week.
Been a quiet week, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
I ain't had to hear a whole lot.
And it's been wonderful.
It's been wonderful. So we're going a little bit later this week. So we got a bye coming up. No game this Saturday. So that's going to change a little bit of our show. But for just a little bit here, we're going to stop the clock so we can
talk about the Gamecocks.
Talk about the Gamecocks. And, man, a lot to talk about.
Interesting game.
Yeah, 5-2.
5-2.
But an ugly win, if there is such a thing. Went up to Tennessee in a place that we've not played well historically. So anytime we win up in Knoxville, it's a big win. Final score 15-9, only one touchdown in the whole game. What do you want to talk about first? Let's talk about our offense. What were your thoughts overall about the offense?
The first half was very interesting to me, and we'll kind of get into this, but very vanilla. A lot of zone reads up the middle. Very boring, kind of what you expected to see out of what Roper's play calling's been.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake's, he's been a little slow to start. And just boring game overall. As you can see, we had just a couple of field goals.
Yep.
Typical kind of what you thought Roper might do. But we were in the game. Defense played great. Defense has really improved.
Wow.
I mean.
Unbelievable. We'll get to them in a minute. But I'm telling you, watching that first half unfold and seeing Tennessee drive down and we forced them to settle for some field goals, which was big. But you kept wondering, what's going to happen? Then we had the big injury to Rico and everybody kind of, not again, here we go. You know, another playmaker gone. And it was pretty obvious. That's three. That's three of the
fibulas. Team. I mean,
that's crazy. So that was tough. But and again, Jake didn't put up a big statistical game. But he didn't have to. And I think they saw how dominant our defense was. I think they got conservative, to use that term. Vanilla is probably a better term, on purpose. There's no need to show a whole lot. We know we got this bye week coming up and then a huge stretch of games coming up for us.
Big games.
So I think they knew they could get through this. Now, boy, we were a botched PAT and a deflected pass on third down there with no time left on the clock away from being in a world of mess. But I do think that played into some of our decisions on offense. Statistically, we ran 64 plays. We averaged 5 yards a play. We'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, we had over 320 yards of offense. So, not a whole lot. Took care of the football again. One thing this week that we have not done that really stalled out a lot of drive, we had a lot of penalties. 8 penalties for 59 yards, which was not something that we had been doing well with our penalties. But, man, the defense really stepped up and showed out. We've talked about this before. Man, could not be prouder of them. Now, we knew Tennessee was going to struggle a little bit that first time starting quarterback, but they only had 253 yards of offense and 7 sacks.
Which is really, really nice for us to finally see our defensive line going. We talked about that being one of the key factors coming into the year was how we thought the defensive line was not going to be very good at
That's
all.
That's right, yeah.
7 sacks is huge, and not much more to say. And I think before Tennessee's last drive, we had held them to like 15 yards
total. After if you include those sacks, if you include the sacks and the lost yardage, just looking at the second half here in the third quarter, Tennessee had the ball 6.5 minutes. In the fourth quarter, they only had the ball 2.5 minutes.
Wow!
So dominated the time of possession, kept it away from them. They were 3 for 4 in the red zone, but had to settle for 3 field goals. So we get in the red zone and we can stop teams from scoring touchdowns. we're going to be okay. So, man, really, really just proud of our defense. Held them to 3 of 13 on third downs. We struggled getting off the field on third downs. Did a great job.
Yeah, and talking about that and talking about the offense going into the second half, one of the things I noticed is we started getting away from that zone read up the middle. We started sending A.J. Turner on the outside towards the hashes. One thing we haven't seen yet that Roper did, Jake Bentley kept the ball on a run.
A couple times.
So he's very vanilla the first half.
That's right.
So yep. I don't know what was said to him.
Right.
But anytime Jake can keep the ball is another thing the defense has to worry about.
You know, and Jake's not known for a runner, but he's good enough to keep people honest.
Yeah.
If he can just get a 7-8 yard gain every now and then for pulling that ball out and get down and protect yourself, young man, like he did, very good there. The talk was, could we stop Tennessee's running back, Kelly? He rushed 16 times and gained a net of 58 yards. He had a long of 24. So if you take that one long away, just stymied him. I don't even know, but we just stalled him out.
Yeah, yeah.
They're running quarter. By the time we sacked him and threw him around, he had negative yards for the day. Really just our defense, that's the best performance I've seen. And he didn't have anywhere to throw the ball. Just the best performance I've seen overall motor of our defense wanting to get to the quarterback and wanting to tackle guys behind the line of scrimmage. They were everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And there's one thing I want to say talking about our defense and how well this guy has played. You know Fenton on one side
right.
has been the lockdown guy.
That's
right. They've hardly been throwing at him.
Yep.
And King was given a lot of grief at the beginning of the year
he
on
was.
His play.
Yep.
But I just want to say this. He's really stepped it up. But, two, keep in mind, we were at the beginning of the year, guys, we were getting run 90-something plays on us.
Yeah.
And nobody looks worse on the field when they get beat than a corner.
That's right. Because it stands out.
It does. Yep. And it's usually for a touchdown. Guys, he has played some
That's
great
right.
football
yep.
all year.
Yep.
All year. Let's keep that in mind.
Couple bad plays there. But let's also not forget that we're starting to get some guys healthy in that secondary, which is making a big difference. We can actually do a little bit of rotating.
Yeah.
And those guys aren't having to play every snap. Just absolutely just couldn't be prouder of our defense and how far they've come. One thing I'll say, and then we'll move on from this, I would have liked to have seen more creative ways to get Hayden Hurst the ball.
Yeah, yeah. And we, like I said, he came out and we opened up a little bit of the creativity, but that was one thing I saw was Jake started a little bit slow.
Yep.
I think it's going to help if Jake can start connecting on some of these short passes early,
right.
Get a little bit of a rhythm, and maybe see if that'll help Roper open it up a little bit. Because, like I said, he did come out and open it up, but it was so vanilla the first half. Where was that the first half?
Right.
I just don't know. So
well, I was very critical of the first play, taking a deep shot down the sideline to Edwards. Two things there. Hayden Hurst was wide open for a touchdown in the middle of the field. Second thing, they picked up the flag. And what that man did to Brian Edwards is illegal in 49 states. The only one is not Tennessee. I mean, that was interference. It was holding. It was unsportsmanlike conduct. It was everything you can think of, illegal touching. He had a hold of that man in places that you shouldn't hold on to anybody. And so there was no excuse. That should have been a big game there. And so if you hit that, who knows? It might have changed the whole dynamics of the first quarter. But kudos. It's really hard to complain when you go get a win somewhere you're not used to winning, especially our young guys. Some of them, that's their first trip to Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, and of course it wasn't full, but you're still talking. Man, I mean, we talked about this on Saturday.
If it's
85% full, that's still 90,000 people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
And that's an SEC environment, a big
yeah.
one.
Yeah, it's huge, one. Huge. All right, so moving on, a lot of good to choose from. Who's your player of the game?
Well, I am going to go with A.J. Turner.
Very good.
14 carries, 86 yards, and a touchdown. Came in as Rico Dowdle went hurt.
Yep.
With that three-headed back, we needed him. He came in up and stepped up big. So, got to go with him. Great job, A.J. It sucks again about
this is tough.
Great job, AJ. Player of the game. Sure, we made your mama proud.
There you go, man. Scored on a 20-yard only touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he looked like we got him on the edge, and he looked like a different back.
Yeah.
Looked like he had a different gear. And I really liked when the play he scored on. Tyshawn was in the backfield. He came on the little jet sweep.
Creativity. Love it. Get people in motion.
Looked good. I mean, 80-something yards. We're going to need that going forward now that we're down to down to our two stud backs, and we'll see if Mon Denson can get in there and get some playing time too. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to give love to a young man, sizes player of the game, who's really, you're talking about Kings taking a lot of heat. Ain't nobody taking more heat. The only person that's taking more heat than this young man is Kurt Roper. And that's your fault. I'm going with Parker White. Hit his first career field goal longer than 40 yards and was 3 for 3. If I'm correct there, he hit a 47, a 21, and a 36.
Great job.
And the missed PAT was not his fault.
No, botched snap.
Never got a foot on it. So, perfect game from him, and those field goals came up big in the end of the game, especially that long 47-yarder. We were both holding our breath, like, why in the world are we going to try this again?
Yeah.
And he drilled it.
I mean, I gave Muschamp to get it together last week because of that.
Yeah, and here he sent him out there again.
Prove me wrong again.
And he drilled it. So, good job, young man. You keep it up, and we need every 3 points he puts through is a relief for us. Now,
well, tell me who you got for your – this is one of our fan favorite segments if you're listening to the show.
That's right.
So, tell us who you got this week for our Get It Together Man.
My Get It Together Man is the easiest Get It Together Man we've ever had. Tyler Bird, wide receiver from Tennessee, running that yapper on Twitter about our secondary. You know, they've said Fenton is Fenton Island.
Yeah.
You go there and you get isolated. You ain't coming back. And his statistics prove that. Well, this fella gets on the Twitter, you know what I'm talking about, on that social media, and starts running that yapper. You can do that behind a computer screen or a cell phone screen. And he said he looked for a flight for 20 or 30 minutes and couldn't find it. The place must not exist. After the game, Fenton was asked about it, and he said, did he even get on the field? No. The answer is no. The young man didn't play. So, young man, get it together. Do not run your mouth at a defensive back that's going to be an NFLer in a couple of years and not even get on the field. Get it together, Tyler Bird. You're an embarrassment to all social media trash talking.
That's solid.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, it's going to be hard for you to top that.
I might got something nice for you. You're going to be a little confused.
You're smiling, and I have no idea. Fans, y'all know how Jay Bird gets during the Get It Together. So, let's hear it. Who you got?
I got Dino Barbers.
Who?
The head coach of Syracuse.
Now, get it together. You know we're doing Get It Together.
Yes.
You know
this man.
You know the man. They beat the team.
They did beat the team from upstate. And after that man – let that head coach into his locker room to tell them and congratulate them on the win and make that head coach from the upstate's head even bigger. How could you do that? How could you do that? I don't know how you could do it. I've never heard of such thing. I've never heard of it. So Dino Barbers lets Dabo Swinney in the locker room taking selfies with players.
Oh.
And they're eating it up. And you know he's eating it up.
No.
Fans are eating it up. I got nothing else to say. I Dino, fantastic job. We love you. But get it together on your at post-game victory celebration. Lord have mercy.
Oh, fans, if y'all could see what I could see right now. Oh, my goodness. Well, there's your Get It Together this week. Very thankful they're not South Carolina players or coaches this week. But I didn't think you were going to top me, but I think you might have taken it. All right, so let's talk about some questions here leading into our bye week.
Okay.
What is the biggest thing the Gamecocks need to improve on this week off?
I think biggest thing, and this is going to be a little bit, I hinted at this a little bit earlier, defense is playing fantastic.
Yep.
Defense is playing fantastic. And I as much as I like the kid and I think he's best for us, I think the biggest thing is Jake Bentley getting off to a little bit better start during games. And I think that's going to be crucial with this stretch of games that we have coming up. I think him and Roper need to get on the same page and say, look, let's get in a little bit of a rhythm early. And I think Jake's had some struggle on short passes and stuff.
Well, he has.
Early in the game, it takes him a little bit to get warmed up.
His stat lines have not blown anybody away lately. Now, luckily, he
hasn't turned the ball over.
No, he's protected the ball well, which we need him to continue to do if we're going to be successful. Let's not forget that we're missing one of the most dynamic offensive weapons in all of college football and the SEC, which is saying a lot. When Debo went out, defenses are now able to focus their attention on Bryan Edwards. And I've said time and time again, it looks like Bryan Edwards and Jake are just a half second off every throw. Bryan's either falling down trying to come back to the ball or the ball's not on the shoulder he thought it was going to be. They just seem to have an odd connection between the two. So I think you're right. They need to all get on the same page. For me, we got to get healthy.
Yeah.
We got to get healthy. We got three offensive linemen we need to get back. We got some DBs that are trying to get healthy enough to get more playing time on the field. We got some guys with some dings and some dents and some bumps and some bruises. Seven games into a brutal stretch of the season. We need some guys to get in there and get some training and some loving in that training room. Getting that ice bath and that hot tub and get the ultrasound stem machine going and really kind of take care of their bodies. It's their fall break this weekend. Best thing, we need them all to come back on Monday out of trouble.
Yeah, you got that right. And this couldn't, for offensive line and health, the bye week couldn't come at a better time.
Yep.
So, and a lot of the offensive linemen guys were, I think you're right, I think they were, I had heard that Zach Bailey probably could thought about going.
In an emergency
situation, but going into this bye week, you know he's more than likely going to be ready, which is, we've talked about how significant he is to the offensive line.
Well, and if we're going to lean on this running game like we have lately, if you've got offensive linemen you trust to rotate in, it's not a position you think about rotating a whole lot. But if you've got guys that you can rotate in and get guys breathers, then that fourth quarter comes and it's really time to pound on people. You got fresh legs down there in the trenches. So very important for us to get healthy and stay out of trouble. And it's also important our coaches are out recruiting right now since we don't have a game. So it's a very important time for our program, the future of our program.
Will Muschamp 6-0. Versus Tennessee.
Against Tennessee, how about that?
Wow.
Yeah. And they have not let Bo Butch go yet, but I think it's coming after this week.
Right.
I think it's coming.
You think so?
I think so. Why would you fire the man before Alabama? Because whoever you let take over is about to just get punched in the face. So you might as well let him take one more licking and then fire him.
-35 spread on that.
And that game's in Alabama?
Yes.
I would, as soon as he got off the bus, I'd just say, go ahead and pack up, man.
-35 on that.
I'd let him go take this licking. I'd let him take it like a man right on the chin, and then I'd fire him as soon as he got off the bus.
Wow.
I would. That's just what I would do. Ain't no need to fire him before you go down there because whoever else is about to get kicked in the teeth too. So I wouldn't. Well, fans, it's time for us to stop, take a break, turn your music up, unless you're listening to it with your earbuds. Don't blow your eardrums out. But we got a little special tune to play for you.
Let's hear it.
Hearing that this week, but it's good. So you can just go back and listen to it over again on the podcast. Go listen to some of the old versions, whatever you want to do this week. But won't be long. You know, Vanderbilt will be coming into town. 2001 will be playing. Place will be jumping with the Gamecocks coming back home 5-2.
That's right.
Next week. And, man, couldn't be prouder of where we are at this point in the season.
Me either. And well, I'm glad we got a nice – got some tough games. Majority of them are at home.
We got a good stretch here, but a lot of our tough games coming up. Some really tough games coming. Five games left. You're talking about Georgia, Florida, team from the upstate. That's tough. Yeah. I mean, we got a rough road ahead. Vanderbilt's kind of been a thorn in our side lately, and then we got Wofford, who runs that offense, and sometimes it's just hard to figure out. But we need to finish strong. But speaking about finishing strong, we got a little friendly competition going on here.
We do.
So update us where we are on our picks, and it's going to be a little tricky this week because normally we go 4 picks in the Gamecocks.
Yep.
But this week we don't have that, so we had to go get a 5th game. And it's really stretching us out of our comfort zone a little bit.
It is. You and I watch a lot of the SEC
football. A lot of the SEC, ACC, kind of Southern football.
A lot of the guys are on bye weeks this week. Not many SEC games. There are some. They're not great.
Yep.
So we're going outside of conference a lot.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens. This is really going to test our football knowledge.
We're going to see or how good we can guess. Update us on our standings.
Okay.
And so, then give us a game.
Last week you went 3-2. Sy's went 3-2, and Jay Bird goes 2-3.
Got overall, game on you.
Overall, that puts you at 20-15.
It's not bad, folks.
That's great. And I'm at 18-17.
It's not bad. Above 500 will get you where you need to be.
You took a 2-game lead on me.
That's fine.
So yeah.
I'm trying not to give it back to you right here.
Plenty of football left.
Plenty of football. You know, it's like on the golf course. You steal a shot, but then you give up 4 on the next hole because you got arrogant. We're going to see how it plays right here. So give me a game here, and let's see what we got this week.
Okay. I like this game, actually. Kentucky at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is favored at home. -13.
Mm. It's a big spread. I like State to win this game. Their defense has been playing great if you take away their performances against Georgia and Auburn. But Kentucky's just playing with a little bit of swagger. I'm gonna take Kentucky to cover, but I do think Mississippi State wins the game.
Yeah, I probably couldn't agree with you more. Kentucky is playing some really good football. They're being coached fantastic. They got some swagger. They're still in the hunt to win the SEC East, really. I think Mississippi State wins this game. Tough place to play on the road.
Is,
very tough place to play on the road.
It's amazing what a bunch of redneck, loudmouth Cowboys will do.
It'll
mess you up.
I think Kentucky loses here by 7 or 10. Yeah. I'm really surprised to see this spread, so I'm taking Kentucky as well.
All right, so we got a we got another big game coming up. This one's out of conference. Check this out. Number 10, Oklahoma State. How about that? Oklahoma State making their way on up is -7 at Texas. Texas is getting 7 points at home.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know our rule.
I know. Man.
Home dog getting points.
That's a lot of points, too.
It is. But here's one of the interesting things about college football. Oklahoma State took a tough loss earlier in the year.
Yeah.
They're going to have to prove to people that when they win, they can win big.
That's true.
You're going to see some teams starting to having to run up the score to get back in that top 4. I'm going to take Oklahoma State here.
Wow. I'm sticking to the rule. I'm going with Texas, even though I'm not a fan of Texas's head coach. I've made that known. He's let me down a lot this year, too. But I'm going with Texas to keep it close and maybe lose by 6. But I'm gonna take Texas getting the points at home because that's the rule you're supposed to stick by. I'm gonna play this conservative with a 2-game lead on you.
Okay. All right. I like it. I like it.
All right. So give me the next
game. This is very interesting to me with this spread. Louisville at Florida State. Florida State is favored. They are getting -6.5.
Florida State is -6.5.
Yep. For me. Florida State, after they've had their quarterback go down, they just haven't looked as strong. -6.5. I know it's a tough place to play, but Louisville's not that bad. I'm taking Louisville here.
Did Florida State get some transfers?
Yeah.
Is somebody from the Miami Dolphins playing with them? 6.5?
Yeah.
I'm taking Louisville. I'm taking Louisville to win the game. I get it's a tough place to play, but Florida State has shown me nothing this year since that terrible injury to the quarterback at the beginning of the year. Give me Louisville. Is Jackson suspended?
I don't know. Maybe they know some kind of flu bug's going around or something don't know about.
Give me that. Yeah, I'll take that action.
Me too.
All right. So here we go. We got a big one here.
Two big games to end with. If you got to do something for your wife, get it done before these two
games.
That's
right. That's right.
Get ready.
Big Ten action first. Michigan. Number 19 is at number 2, Penn State. Now, first off, can you believe Penn State's number 2?
I can't.
They're just a handful of years away from almost getting the death penalty, and here they sit at number 2 in the nation.
This is a very interesting game to me. I have not seen Penn State play yet.
I hadn't either.
But this the running back they say is unbelievable. And I'm excited to see him, Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
And so
Heisman favorite right now, some people are saying. I didn't give you the spread on that. Penn State is -9.5. So they need to win by 10 to cover.
Yeah.
So who you taking?
I'll tell you what. Harbaugh, I found this out, does not have a very good record against his rivals.
Okay.
This is a big game. I believe the Barkley kid is going to show it out on the big stage. I like James Franklin a lot. He's a great coach. I'm taking Penn State.
He is a great coach. I don't like him a lot. A lot of because of what he did to Vanderbilt. He left them in a mess and stole some of the recruits. But he fits where he's at. I think he fits that atmosphere more than he did SEC football. Don't forget, Penn State is playing with a chip on their shoulder because they got left out last year of no fault of their own.
You're 100% right.
And really deserved, in my opinion, an opportunity to be in the talks more than they were given.
Yep.
I think they leave no doubt on this when I'm taking Penn State to win. I'm going to say they win by 13 or 14 at home.
I like it.
Okay. All right, so close us off with another. Now, this is another big rivalry.
Yep. Yep.
Going back several decades, tell us who we got.
We got number 11 USC Trojans at number 13 Notre Dame. Notre Dame is -3.5 at home.
So you got just barely above a pick 'em here.
Yep.
Basically what that means when we say that is Notre Dame's getting points for their home crowd, for the atmosphere, for stuff like that. Typically, you see anywhere from 2 to 2.5 for that. So they're saying that Notre Dame here is probably about a field goal or a little less than a field goal better than Notre Dame. Southern Cal. I've not seen either of these teams play a lot because I just don't stay up that late and watch football anymore. But Notre Dame is known for growing that grass out and making it thick. Now, if you'll remember the old Reggie Bush saga. But I'm taking Notre Dame to win at home. Southern Cal has been a disappointment this year. I was expecting bigger things out of them. So give me the Fighting Irish.
I like the pick, but I'm going to hit you with a not so fast.
Okay, so we're going to differ on something here.
Yeah, we're going to differ on something just because, one, I need to get back in this race.
Two,
Brian Kelly just doesn't impress me in big games. Okay. When I see him walk out of that team from the Upstate Stadium and his eyes got big as a saucer, he wasn't ready.
He wasn't.
So I'm going to take USC here.
Okay.
I think they hang in there.
So for those of you keeping track at home, I'm up 2 games and we differ on 2 games.
I'm going to see if I can get back in this
thing. It could very well possibly, if you have a great week, we could be right back tied up.
I want to say how neither one of us has gone 5-0 on 1 week.
No.
Neither one of us is going five.
That five is hard to get to.
That is.
4-1's doable, but that five and that elusive five, with the stress of waiting on that fifth game, and then that next thing, that whole card ruined. One silly game, a field goal, a fumble, the whole card gone.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about.
I hope none of y'all listen to us on the 5-on-5.
Don't listen to us on the 5-on-5. Well, folks, man, that's just something we do for fun there. But we are enjoying that. But, hey, having a pretty close competition throughout the year as well. Well, Jay Bird, we got no game to preview this week, no game to pick for the Gamecocks. But that team from the Upstate doesn't play either, so that means our great week really gets to continue for 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic. Hit us with some closing comments, and we'll be back. We'll be back next week. And our show next week will be a little bit different. So leave us. We'll have some extra time for some questions. So leave us some questions on our Facebook or Twitter page. And then next week, we're going to come out. You don't want to miss this. We're going to hit every skill, or we're going to hit every position with a mid-season bi-week grade, and we might even throw some coaches in there.
Yeah, now that will be interesting.
So you're going to want to be here next week. So let somebody know next week, and we'll be back earlier in the week like we normally are.
Yep. Just thank you guys again for listening so much. We appreciate all of y'all. This thing it just keeps growing on us. Also, like he said, hit us with comments. You can leave some comments that we'll talk about during the show next week on the bye week. We'll talk about your comments. We'll throw your name out there and hit us with some questions. Leave a questions on our Facebook page, Jay Bird and Size, or hit us up on Twitter at Jay Bird and Size.
That's right. Yep.
We'd love to talk about it next week. Like we said, we'll be on a bye week. We'll have plenty to talk about. Thanks again. What you got?
Jay Bird, you know, this time last year, and it's you know what I love about October? That's baseball. Now I know we're talking about a football show, but last year we found hope in the Chicago Cubs.
We did.
They gave us hope as Gamecock fans that, hey, anything's possible. And if they could break the curse, maybe one day we could break the chicken curse too. Now, so I say that, and tonight they're having to rally from behind against the Dodgers. So we're going to see if the Cubs can give us a little more hope. See if they can rally back tonight when there's less football to watch. Playoff baseball is as exciting as it can get. So I'm going to watch me a little playoff baseball. I'm going to enjoy the weekend, watch some of these great ball games, and get ready for the Gamecocks are going for win number 6. Now, we're going to get to the point where 6 is no longer the exciting number to talk about. But 6 is a big deal for us.
It is.
Especially with Wofford later in the season, a game we should be favored in. We're staring 7. Could be scratching for 8. We'll get into that later on.
Yeah.
Folks, take it easy. Have a great week. Join us next week for a special bye-week show. Let's go, Gamecocks.
Let's go. Go, Cocks.